Mark chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. This is God's word. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. All right. So how was your day? What you got going today? Man, what a day. Have a good day. All these things about a day that we throw out there, and they seem to roll around every 24 hours. But then there are these days that stand out. Days that are, for whatever reason, just so action-packed or so much of a hinge in our lives, they just stand out as that is a day. Such is the Tuesday of our Lord's last week, pre-resurrection on this earth. We're in the midst of studying through the last week of Jesus' life, and we're going to do that all the way up until the last week before Easter. And so let me just recap for those of you who may be new to the story or might need a brief refresher. On Sunday, Jesus rides into town and is celebrated as many people gather and sing out from Psalm 118, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of God. Blessed is the one who brings the kingdom of David. Rah, rah, yes, we're on this." That's Sunday. Monday, this man who has ridden into town announcing his kingdom goes into the temple, and there he cleans house. He makes a lot of people mad. He opens up space, and he's upset because his father loves the world, and there was a place where the non-Jewish folk were supposed to gather and worship. But that space where the non-Jewish people were supposed to gather and worship had been taken over by salesmen and thieves. And it's where they oversold at high prices to Jewish folks who were coming to make sacrifices. So the whole thing made him angry. And Jesus cleared it out. "My Father's house is a house of prayer." And he turned over tables and he cleaned house. Also on that Monday, he cursed a fig tree and likened it to the Hebrew nation for not bearing fruit, and said that that a curse was upon it. And then he and his friends tripped on back to Bethany, where they spent the night. Next morning, Tuesday, they go into the city again, into the temple again. And man, oh man, what a day. What do you got going today? Jesus is barraged with questions, with accusations, There are people who are set with their phones in hand, asking him questions, ready to Google whatever. Go with me. Ready to Google whatever he asks to trap him and catch him in an error. They don't really want to learn from him. They want him to mess up in a way that they can undo this popularity that's being amassed. But he is a wriggly one. And they cannot corner him. Yea, even as they seek to try to corner him, they find themselves with walls all around them, not knowing what to do. And so Tuesday of Holy Week is an amazing time. It is where it's all of, it's most of Matthew 21 through chapter 25. So those books. In Mark, where we are today, it's from verse 20 of chapter 11 through the end of verse of chapter 13. In Luke's gospel, it's all of 20 and 21. So Tuesday of Holy Week is where Jesus gets asked questions like, by whose authority are you doing this? Hey, should we pay taxes? Hey, listen. Imagine there was this guy who got married four times because his wives just continued to die off. So he's got four wives and he goes to heaven. Who's he married to up there, Jesus? And they're just pummeling him. Hey, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? They're just pummeling him with question after question after question, ready to see him make an error. And Jesus is just poof, poof, poof. Handling everything in the most masterful of way because he is our wisdom and he is our righteousness. It's on Tuesday that we get some great statements that I won't have time to deal with, but I just want to let you know how great a day Tuesday was. Tuesday was when Jesus said to the teachers of the law, hey, y'all, look at that. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom before you. Tuesday is the day when Jesus said, tell you what, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and render unto God what's God's. Tuesday's the day that Jesus said, he's not the God of the dead, but the living. So Tuesday is wall to wall packed. We're going to look at this one little section that I think gives you a flavor of what the whole day is like. So I'm going to begin up at verse 27 of chapter 11. If you're looking for headers, I am too. I think it goes like this. Jesus is questioned in 11:27 through 33. Jesus gives a little history lesson in 12:1 through 5. And then in beginning in verse 6, he gives a little history lesson before it happens, starting in verse 6. All right, here we go. So chapter 11, verse 27, and when they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you the authority to do them? Jesus said to them, I'll ask you a question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me. And they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, he's going to say, why then didn't you believe him? But if we say from man, they were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So you see, Jesus, this is the first question they ask him on Tuesday. And I forgot to tell you. On Tuesday, throughout these barrage of questions, it's from a host of accusers. Every group known to Judaism is united for the first time that we know of. They're united in hate. They have a common enemy. Let me just read to you these different denominations of Judaism that are all going to come at him on Tuesday. You've got the chief priests. They conduct temple services. You've got the teachers of the law. They are the religious scholars. You've got the elders. They're the older, retired priests and teachers of the law. You've got the Pharisees, who are the fundamentalists of Judaism. You've got the Herodians, who said, let's just make peace with Rome. They're not doing that bad of a job. You've got the Sadducees, who are the liberals. Everybody is united against this man. And even though on Sunday he had had a host of people singing Psalm 118 and how blessed it is that somebody comes in the name of David and brings the kingdom of God, here the rejection begins in earnest and people are dropping away from him like crazy, and they're questioning his authority. And that was the questions they brought. By whose authority do you do this? And Jesus, brilliant as he was, said, let me ask you a question. And so he asked them about the baptism of John. Now, if you don't know much about John the Baptist came on the scene just before Jesus. And he was crazy. He was a wild man. And he would announce all over the place, you need a bath. Hey, people of Israel, you're unclean. God's kingdom is coming and you need to get ready for it. Come out here and let me give you a ceremonial washing so that you might prepare yourselves. And it caused an amazing stir. And a lot of people were going out there to be washed and to be prepared for the King of God to come. There were some people who were notorious by their absence. The religious leaders weren't heading out there. The religious leaders were slow to admit, me? Need a bath? Go out there with that crazy man's dunking people in the water? And so Jesus asked them, that baptism of John, from heaven or from man, some crazy man? And they say, wait a minute. If we say that it's from God, then he's going to say, why weren't you running out there to be a part of it? John the Baptist came proclaiming God's king and telling everybody to repent and believe and fall in line in allegiance to this coming king. If John's baptism's from heaven, then he's got us. But if we say that it's not from God, it was just something John made up, it's a real popular baptism. And the people, the masses, are going to be upset with us for condemning it. So we think John might have been a prophet. And so they give this lame, we don't know, response to Jesus' question from whence did John's baptism come. And he says, well, then I'm not going to answer your question. But then he begins to tell them a parable. He tells them a bunch throughout that day, but the one we're looking at is the one Michael read for us, and it's the parable of a landowner. It's called the parable of the tenants. And so, listen, it's not that foreign of an idea. My grandparents lived in this way. This is sharecropping. This is where somebody who couldn't own land rented land from a landowner, and then they're supposed to pay for the land on which they are renting and farming. And God draws out this parable, and in the parable, he's the landowner. Israel is the vineyard. These folks who won't pay are the religious leaders. And I don't have to tell you who the landowner's son is. And so in this parable, it's amazing. Okay, so it's basically taken from Isaiah chapter 5. Remember, Jesus and everybody knows their Old Testament. Don't anybody say anything out loud, just show of hands. How many of you know if I start doing this? Dun 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 d Raise your hand if you know what that is. Okay, a few. How about this one? I can't think of. Dun, 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 dun. Raise your hand. More. The first one's good, too. It's by Queen. But anyway, see, it's a common song. We all know it. We know that song. And so when Jesus starts talking about, here's the parable of the tenants. There once was a vineyard and it wasn't. They're all like, hang on a minute. Don't we know that song? That's Isaiah chapter 5 he's quoting. But Jesus sort of updates it and gives it a twist of the Son coming. And what he says there is basically this. He basically retells human history and the history of Israel. Do you ever have those teachers who they just help you see the way the world has worked and you go, man, okay, now I get it. I see the parallels or what have you. Here's Jesus saying, hey, redemptive history, all of the history of the people of God told in a few sentences here. Here's the deal. God owns the land. He's put these people in charge of the land. Time and time again, he sends people, the prophets, to warn them, to collect from them, to tell them, hey, landowner ain't happy. You need to fall in line and become loyal to him in a way that you haven't been in the past. He sends prophet after prophet to Israel. And what does Jesus say? They would kill him. They would turn him aside. Just to give you a little history of the prophets, let me run through this. Here are some of the prophets God sent. Elijah, driven into the wilderness by the people. Zechariah, stoned to death. Jeremiah, beaten and placed in the shackles. Uriah, killed by the sword. Isaiah, sawn in two. Jeremiah, death by the sword. And the last prophet that God sent to tell the people, to tell the tenants, hey, landowner ain't happy, pledge allegiance to him in a way that you're not currently. The last prophet he sends, John the Baptist. He's the last Old Testament prophet. And what happened to him? Beheaded. And so Jesus has just given us, there's a litany. Y'all got a history, people, of killing the messengers God has sent. And so that's where Jesus ends recounting history and begins moving forward to predict history. That's where he says in verse 6, he had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them saying, they'll respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. And so stop there for a minute. So Jesus says, all these messengers that God sent, they didn't listen. Surely they will listen to his son. And far from the people saying, oh, wait a minute, this is the heir, we better give ear to him, they smell an opportunity. Hey, this is the heir. We wipe him out and it's all ours. No more threats. And so they kill him. And they kill him in an amazing way. You heard what Jesus said. They take him. They took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. Now, you know, earlier up there, it says in verse 1 that a man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it. And so Jesus is saying, here they kill this heir, and like they're tossing a raccoon carcass over the wall. They're just done with this body. No proper burial, no respect for the landowner who'd given incredible warnings over many occasions. And no respect or homage to the heir as well. But disgust. An inhumane treatment. And so Jesus is here on Tuesday telling them,
This is what you're doing. This is what's happening before your very eyes. God has sent you warning after warning and message after message. And you haven't listened, and you aren't listening. And this week will be the ultimate disgrace and dehumanizing of the heir of the landowner. Jesus is trying to rattle their cages about how serious what's happening is. And it is tragic. But Jesus is doing a lot of teaching on this day, but it struck me this week. You know, sometimes it's asked, well, did Jesus come primarily as a teacher? And I think this passage says absolutely not. Because Jesus couldn't teach us out of our sin. He had to become an offering, a sacrifice for our sin. And so in all of the teaching, it's not going to accomplish. He has to be sacrificed. And here is the great flip where they think, hey, we smell an opportunity. If we get rid of the heir, then it's all ours. When in actuality, Jesus is saying, you know what? You kill the heir, but it's not all yours. In fact, that will seal the deal, that it will be taken away from you completely. Look at what verse 9 says. Jesus says, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Okay, so I don't know what your concept of God is, but this is a challenge. What's the owner going to do? He'll come and destroy. We don't have these, thankfully, in my home here, but in Florida where we lived, we had these crazy vines they had these edges on them that you couldn't see. And yet they hurt. I remember one time grabbing them, having forgotten or not wearing my gloves or whatever, and just confidently grabbing a pile and just, oy vey. And then just whoa. Listen, if you have a concept of God that never surprises you, if you're never bumping up against God and you're going, whoa, what was that? You're not dealing with the real God. The God of the Bible pushes us. The God of the Bible has edges. And here's one of them. Jesus says the landowner is going to come and destroy. And he's going to take it away. And this is what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, we're in 33 AD. And in about 40 years, you know, y'all are upset right now that Jerusalem is occupied by the Romans. Well, here's what's going to happen. In about 40 years, Rome ain't going to be occupying Jerusalem. The Jewish nation will be spread everywhere. That temple that you love and think so highly of, desolated. It's going to be what we would look back on and say was one of the great destructions, just 40 years later. Jesus is saying, here's the deal. Isaiah 5 was all about God's desire for a vineyard to yield fruit and be a blessing to the nations. And people of God, it hasn't been. And so I'm taking the kingdom from you, and I'm going to engraft all those unclean Gentiles who are called by my name. And I'm going to, and this is where the Bible in Galatians calls the church the new Israel. The church becomes the people of God. And it is a multi-ethnic, every nation band of people who are now the people of God, through whom God is bringing his blessing to the nations. And by his grace, we are a part of that. And God, who is committed to the fruitfulness of his vineyard, removes it from the hands of the Jewish nation and opens it up so that now repentant Jews and unclean Gentiles, like most of us, can enter in. It's all about God. It's all about His glory. It's all about Him seeing fruit born in the nation. And Jesus says in verse 10, haven't you read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus is saying, y'all are rejecting me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I will be increasingly rejected Sunday and every day after that, forever. I'll be vindicated because God is going to take the stone that you threw away and thought was worthless, and He is going to build this amazing building called the church, the people of God, out of it. The stone that was rejected has become the most important stone. And isn't it marvelous in our eyes?